Our reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes angel wings and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So last Sunday, we had Sports Personality of the Year 2020. Now, people voted for the best sports person of the year. Extraordinary people who have been the best in their chosen sport. And I believe it was won by Lewis Hamilton, who's had an amazing career. He's outstanding in his area of sport. And sometime this week, we're going to have the New Year's Honours List will be published. And people who've been outstanding in all sorts of areas of life, the arts, business, science and medicine, entertainment, and also ordinary citizens. It celebrates the best people we have in the country. People who've done something amazing in their lives. Well, the first chapter of Hebrews also starts with a kind of honours list. It's an honours list of the whole of eternity. It's the most outstanding person in all the universe, and there's only one name on it: God's own Son, Jesus Christ. The Son, as he is referred to in the opening passages of Hebrews, is the very best. He is superior to all others. He is above and beyond everyone and everything. No one comes close to being like him. The writer of Hebrews compares him to the best thing that he can think of, angels. And he makes it clear that Jesus is way above and beyond even these great beings. So let's have a look at the case that he's making for Jesus to be honored above all others. And I'm going to use the following headings. Jesus, God's word, have you heard it? Jesus, God's power, have you seen it? And Jesus, God's provision, do you accept it? Jesus, God's word, have you heard it? Our God is not a silent God, as some people would have you think. He has spoken to us. He does speak to us, and he goes on speaking to us. It's all there in the Bible. Christian people, do not underestimate your Bible. It's the primary and most important way God speaks to his people. It's the most complete and richest resource for living that you will ever get your hands on. It's a gold mine of God's love for you, his people. You can dig deep of that seam of love and it will never run out. True, it won't tell me how to fix a leaky pipe. I wish it could. It won't tell you how to bake a cake or speak a foreign language or what to do when your car breaks down. But it contains all you need to know in order to know God. And it does that mainly through the life and words of Jesus. And the Bible doesn't start with Jesus, but its whole story works its way towards him. He's what the book's all about. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. The Old Testament is stuffed full of prophets. Now, don't switch off. It's essential reading. If you really want the whole picture, the prophets, the books of the law, the history books, the Psalms, and the books of wisdom all point to Jesus. It gives us the depth of the story of God's relationship with his people. It shows us the failure of God's people as they attempt to save themselves. There's a cycle of struggle and failure all through the Old Testament. It's exhausting reading how people try and save themselves and try and be more like God, yet failing every time. But there's a glimmer of hope. If you read carefully, you will see the signs. God is going to send someone who will rescue his people, someone who can be their perfect priest and king and will meet all God's holy laws. This person will save God's people from that cycle of sin and failure. He will save not just Israel, but anyone from any nation who turns and believes in him. And that person has been shown to be Jesus Christ, God's word made flesh, God's own son, his final word to us. The angels referred to in Hebrews are God's special messengers. They were sent by God to particular individuals with important messages. And at this Christmas season, we tend to remember the angel who spoke to Mary and Joseph and those sent to the shepherds. But they're dotted about all through the Old Testament and New Testament. They sometimes appear as spectacular beings. But no matter how great they are just God's messengers under God's command. Jesus, on the other hand, was not just a messenger. He was the message. He was God. John's Gospel opens with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And Jesus was God's message to the world. In John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh. Jesus came into the world not just to speak his Father's word to us, but to be God's Word in the flesh before us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In life, Jesus is God's grace and truth to us. He is the living message. When we look at Jesus, we see God the Father. He is God's final and superior word to us. The angels are only messengers. The Son is the message. Jesus is as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. He is the one that angels worship. Jesus, God's word, have you heard it? Have you heard God's word speaking to you? Be careful to remember that Jesus is the message. We've been given a lot of messages this past year, and many of them have been important, telling us about our personal safety during the pandemic. Unfortunately, some have been false and really just nonsense made up by people. Be careful what messages you believe and follow. Pay careful attention to the truth that you have been taught. Heed the warning given by the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. The message is important. Don't just take my word for it. Find out for yourselves. Read one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Discover for yourself what Jesus said and did. Jesus is the message. Pay careful attention to him. He is worth it. Jesus, God's power. Have you seen it? If a police officer stops you and asks you to wait, you listen and act on what they say. That's because their words carry the power of the law. If they had no power under the law, you wouldn't have to do as they say. A God who is able to speak but has no power to act is no God at all. Jesus is not just God's word, he is God's word of power. Verse 2 says, and through whom also he made the universe. God made the whole universe through Jesus. Again, from the opening chapters of John's Gospel, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. John chapter 1, verse 3. Before Jesus appeared among us as a human, he was with God through all eternity. Through him all things were made. I don't believe we can really understand God's power. It's beyond our comprehension. To understand God's power would be to understand who God is, and we can't. Someone has said, whoever has seen God and has understood what he saw has seen nothing. We find it difficult to understand God's power because we find it difficult to understand who God is and how he can exist. God has existed through all eternity because he exists outside of time. Past, present, and future are all there before him. It's like the pictures of a graphic novel. That's a comic to people of a certain age. You can view the pictures in order, all at once, or in any order you like. So it is with God. He can see history in any order he chooses because time doesn't control him. He controls it. He doesn't require anything or anyone in order to sustain himself. For humans, there is a rule of three. 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food, and we die. But God doesn't need air, water, or food. He sustains himself by himself forever. It hurts my brain just to think about it. By God's power, the whole universe was made. It's all done by his powerful word. Jesus, God made flesh, shows us something of God's power. The Gospels record 30 plus miracles of Jesus. He showed power over the natural world and the supernatural world. He fasted for 40 days, which is beyond what is normal for humans. He calmed a storm, walked on water, turned water into wine. He fed thousands on a few small loaves. By his command, he made evil spirits silent and flee from him. He healed people of their physical illnesses and forgave their sins. He healed by touch, by word, and even at a distance without seeing the patient. All kinds of diseases were subject to him. Diseases of skin, joints and muscles, fevers, blindness, deafness, and others. He forgave sins, something which only God was supposed to be able to do. This turned the religious leaders of his day against him. They believed only God had the authority and power to forgive sins. When Jesus publicly forgave someone's sins, they saw it as blasphemy. They couldn't accept that he had the same power and authority as God. He demonstrated power over death. He raised people from the dead on at least three occasions. One had been buried several days, one was being taken to be buried, and the other had just died. No one believed that it was possible. Some even laughed at him for suggesting he could do it. Yet, he did it before witnesses. Have you ever heard of anyone else doing such a thing? No angel has ever done such a thing. All angels are created beings like humans and have limited power and ability. They don't create things or heal people. They can't forgive sins. Jesus healed because of his love for those he met. There was no money involved. He never used it as entertainment. In fact, he tried on many occasions to keep it quiet. This was only part of his ministry, a way of showing God's love to broken people. His main ministry was to heal a broken relationship between God and people. Jesus, God's power, have you seen it? There are many personal testimonies down the centuries of people who have been changed by the power of Jesus' love. There are many ordinary people who have felt that power of that love working in their lives. God's power to work good in people's lives is out there. Have you seen it or felt it for yourself? Jesus, God's provision, do you accept it? Now, I used to say that the best things in my DIY kit were a wire coat hanger, gaffer tape, and blue tack, to which I now add cable ties. I don't know why, but I always seem to end up using these items more than anything else to fix things. People are used to trying to fix things. Something breaks and we try and fix it. We seem hardwired to try and fix things ourselves. And generally, that's not a bad thing. Our relationship with God was broken very early on in the Garden of Eden. Man decided then that he knew better than God and tried to take things under his control. This is the essence of sin. We think we know best, that we don't need God in our lives. And the relationship has been broken ever since. God, in his grace, kept that relationship going. God's laws and the sacrificial system were there to provide a way to stay in contact with God. But it was never going to fully fix the problem. No more than blue tack is a real fix for anything. People still try and fix the relationship in all sorts of ways. Self-enlightenment, self-improvement, looking to worship something, looking to worship anything. Us doing things will not fix this problem. We cannot fix it from our side. We're not capable of it. Only God can fix it. God has a rescue plan for mankind. He can fix the relationship permanently, and it makes me smile to think that he started with a baby in a stable. Jesus is that rescue plan. He is God's provision for humans to rescue us from the sin that separates us. God sent Jesus to permanently bridge the gap so that we can get to know God for ourselves, and one day we'll be with him forever. If you read the book of Hebrews, it talks a lot about priests and sacrifices. They offered animal sacrifices day in and day out to keep the communication with God open. But it wasn't a permanent solution. Like my blue tack fix, they would have to go back to it again and again, and each time it would fail eventually. The sacrificial system wasn't the solution to the problem of sin. We might ask ourselves, why is sin such a big deal? We can't see it, it's almost not tangible, a bit like a virus. Yet it can be devastating in its effect on our lives and the lives of others. a bit like a virus. It breaks our relationship with other people, and most importantly, it breaks our relationship with God. Until that's restored, we are restless all our lives. God provided the complete solution in Jesus. His death on the cross is the permanent solution to the problem of sin. Unlike human priests, Jesus is their eternal replacement. In verse 3 it says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He is now with God in heaven. And Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9 says, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So there's an eternal solution provided by God through Jesus. If you're a Christian believer, then you can have this hope in Jesus. It is stronger than any DIY fix we can produce. It is both sure and steadfast, an anchor for the soul through the gales of life. No angel ever died for your sin. No one else can provide the protection from sin that Jesus does. It's not a vaccine that's only 50% or 60% or 90% effective. It is 100% effective against sin. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus is there before God the Father, representing you. This is God's love shown to us in Jesus. He lived among us, died for us on the cross, was buried and rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is now with God the Father in heaven, acting on your behalf. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He's able to stand before God for you. I'm in need of God's grace, and I guess you're in need of it too. Christian believer, he wants you to receive his grace and grow in it. He has done all that is necessary for you to come to God. He wants to help you at your point of need. So as it says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus, God's provision, do you accept it? If you're not a believer, consider Jesus, his life, and claims. Find out more about him. If you haven't got a gospel to read, we can try and get one to you. Just let us know. Discover for yourself the life and words of Jesus. Then you too can come to know why he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Why he is the only person on this honours list. Why he is the one angels worship. He is the one we worship and adore. Don't settle for second best, because Jesus is superior in every way. Amen.